If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is The Bigger Picture, Earth Changes and Initiation, Human, Planetary, and Solar. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself forward into your divine presence, that God Self that lives within the very center of your innermost being. Feel that presence connect. Take another deep breath. And just enjoy that integrative process as you call yourself forward into your vast transpersonal self. That part of you that is birthless, deathless, immortal, eternally one with God. That part that is absolutely indistinguishable from God. That part that is connected to every single thing throughout nature in perfect harmony, in perfect oneness and peace. And we're going to do a process this evening because many things are happening on the planet and many people are at this time needing our support as light workers. So imagine that you're standing in space surrounding the Earth and take the hands of the light workers on either side of you. See yourself connected every place throughout the grid of this planet, like so many diamonds sparkling in the various connective points within the grid. Cover the whole planet. Now connect consciously with the Christ consciousness grid. It's connected to the heart. Take a deep breath and connect. That lifts you up into the heart coherency. And now at this time, let's ask for a clearance of any energies that we've brought forward, personally and collectively, that do not serve our highest good. We ask that these be cleared through grace, that any negativity be dissolved in the pure, perfect truth and love of God, the grace of God. We ask at this time to be aligned to the divine line of authority to which we come forward individually and collectively to do God's work in this world. I call myself forward to my own divine line of authority, which would include yours if you resonate with that, through the office of the Christ, the order of Melchizedek, the spiritual traveler lineages of light and sound, the divine avatars, Mahavatar Babaji, the Lord Satya Sai Baba, and all those who stand in that lineage of divine avatars, representing the God presence upon earth at any given time. We connect with all the Rishis and Mahatmas and those who are in service to divine good and light. And we take our place amongst them as light bearers of this time and this place in history. And we now resonate love. If you happen to be out of balance for whatever reason, or you're in a situation where you're frightened and disturbed emotionally, ask that the Master put his or her love through you and allow yourself to be the instrument, the conduit for that love to flow forth. those of you that are being called forward to be of service to the people who are recovering from Harvey, tremendous hurricane that just ravaged Texas and many, many states and cities in that area. Those who are in the pathway at this time of Irma, and those who are maybe in the pathway of Jose, which is also following Irma as a major storm system. Let's just be an open conduit in which the love of God can flow through us, bypassing all of our personal inadequacies. You can ask Sai Baba, you can ask Mother Mary, you can ask Jesus. Just be a conduit for the Divine Spirit and allow the love to flow through you. And it will. As we work with the energies on the planet, we must stay centered in the loving and not focus upon the fear. Because as you listen to the news or you watch the weather reports, there's a tendency for those of us that are empaths to begin to empath the fear, and therefore we pray fearfully. And that's why it's important to have that which is greater bypass our personal inadequacies and minister through us as conduits. And so, let's just host the saving grace of God, the love of God, the peace of God. And we ask at this time through the Lord God of our being that any karma, any negativity, any unbalanced state that involves the earth and humanity that could at this time be cleared through grace, let that take place. Take a deep breath and offer it up to the Divine Spirit. We stand as intercessors at this time, speaking the word on behalf of our brothers and sisters throughout the planet. Not only here in America, but throughout the world, people are suffering in various earth change events. Lives are being impacted throughout the planet. So we cover all of our brothers and sisters of whatever lands and nations they may be, whatever they are facing and being confronted with, we stand in the gap for them and speak the word that calls forward divine grace and love into their situation. And we call that forward for ourselves as well in our individual lives, whatever is coming up for us at this time. We send our love to permeate all of the kingdoms of nature, all of the devas and elemental spirits of earth, water, wind, fire, ether, all the little, many, many devic beings that go into making nature beautiful and resplendent as it is. All of the angels and archangels, and all of the masters that work with the various kingdoms of nature. We raise our hands as a collective group soul. We bless them. We bless the earth. And we bless Irma. Be kindly to us, dear Irma. Feel the love of God that we're sending into you. And let it dissolve any wrathful energy. We send light to Jose, who's following as a storm. Be peaceful. Be at peace. Be kindly to us. And we send the light to the floodwaters and the areas of fire throughout the United States and the planet, areas of earthquakes. We send love into all of those crevasses, known and unknown, that produce earthquakes. We send love into the volcanoes. We say to all, peace. Be at peace. Be at peace. And we speak into the hearts and minds of all world leaders. Be at peace. Be at peace. Find ways to come in to one accord, that we can share life and enjoy life. And we ask that the clouds and the negativity of fear and hatred and againstness and polarized states of consciousness, whatever could be cleared at this time through our evoking divine grace, that that could take place. We take a deep breath, and collectively we receive the grace of God, and we extend the grace of God throughout creation, and it may touch to every man, woman, and child on the planet, and to all the kingdoms of nature and all the life forms, for they also have suffered. And we bless them all. And let's chant the hue 3 times and send it with purity of heart and love to bless everyone everywhere. Deep breath. Hue. For the most beneficent and positive and grace-wrapped and divinely orchestrated outcome for all people who are going through difficult times and who may be going through very difficult times in the days and moment at hand and the days and weeks ahead. We just bless everyone. And let's say Shanti 3 times. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. And that's a very good mantra to chant when you're watching the news, because it is the very vibration of peace itself. So there are many viewpoints on what is taking place on planet Earth currently. And by the way, you can return your consciousness here, or you can stay on one level connected with your light workers, your brothers and sisters who bear light throughout the planet. You see, you don't have to depart from that level, because there's a part of us that's always at that level. You see? We are multidimensional beings, not just where the body is parked. So as I was saying, there are many ways to look at what's happening on the planet, many ways to interpret. But it seems that I've been given the job of interpreting them in terms of, let's say the bigger picture, and always relating it to our collective awakening as the one divine spirit, represented in many, many different forms, which would be your form and my form, and every form is an incarnation of that one Atma, that one divine spirit. So humanity throughout the entire planet, from the perspective of, let's say, initiation, that is to say, moving into greater light frequency. And we're looking at initiation in terms of the transfiguration of the cellular structure from the carbon-based molecule to the silicone-based molecule, to the pure, crystalline, whole light being. Resurrected, pure light is what we're looking at. And that process is achieved through gradually bringing in and integrating more and more light from the soul, from the monad or spirit, until the whole body is transformed into the image and likeness of the sons and daughters of God, resurrected, ascended, whole, free. It's the ascension process, which is not an event, but it is an ongoing process of integrating more and more higher vibrations of love and light and divine harmony into each cell of our being. That brings this gradual transfiguration, and it's for everything and everyone, not just the small group. Some of us are a little bit further along in the path, that's all. But that's only in terms of the illusion of time, which simply gives us a little wiggle room to slow down and experience sequentially that which has already been completed out of time. You see, everything that God would have you have has already been given, and it's for us to awaken to that. It's for us to receive that. So Earth is a school, and class is in session. Yep, class is in session. All the time, day and night, you're always in class. Is there no recess? Yeah, if you can move your awareness into that level which is beyond the mind, beyond time, beyond space, beyond becomingness, beyond the illusion that you're a separate person, if you can move yourself in your awareness into the pure soulific essence that you truly are, yeah, you rest in God. You rest in God like a planet rests in space. But it requires getting over those patterns of thought which have kept us confined and labeled as a this or a that. When you are all that is, all that exists, all that could ever be, when everything came from you, and everything shall return to you, and your mind, and your spirit, and your body are simply the temples to which you, the self, are awakening to your full wholeness of divine being. This is what we're here, in the illusion of time and space and causation, to slow down and begin to awaken to. It's already there. It's not a becoming. It's a remembering and a reawakening of what and who you've always been. So tests are given, as in any educational system, to determine where a student is in his or her learning process. So every soul is a student enrolled in Earth's curriculum, which is for the purpose of training and equipping you to function as a conscious cosmic co-creator with divine spirit. We are learning to be conscious and more excellent in the exercising of our creative intelligence, because we are part of that extension of the glory of God. So we are here to learn how to face, overcome, and master every problem, every situation and circumstance we encounter in life, and not lose our cool, to stay centered, to handle what needs to be handled, but not let it get us out of balance, not allow it to cause us to close down our heart, or to go into anger, irritation, which usually we do because we blame ourselves. But failure is part of the system of learning. Yes, you're going to fail tests. Yes, you're going to mess up. Yes, you're going to find out, sometimes the hard way, what doesn't work for you. And you're going to find out, sometimes the hard way, what does work for you. And every mistake is going to turn to be a blessing and something that you will use later on as a teacher or presently as a teacher, to help others in a similar situation get free. So even when you mess up, there's a whole group of souls out of incarnation that gather around you to watch how you handle that, because you're always teaching. You're never alone. There are masters on the inner planes that will bring their students all around you to watch how you handle some particular situation in your life. So when you think you're in your worst, and you're really up against something that's hard for you to pass through, you've got all of these people watching to see how you do it so they can learn. And when they take embodiment the next time, they will remember that you taught them how to handle that particular situation. So I don't care what it is, it turns to be a blessing in the long run. It always turns to be a blessing. It says in the scriptures that God works all things together for good. God works all things together for good. So we have to learn to, whatever we're going through, to say, this is good for me. This is not against me. This is for me. This is good for me. It may not look good for me at the moment. I may be really suffering. But ultimately, good will come out of this. A new life will come out of this. So everything we go through opens us up to something that is waiting for us to experience. Sometimes we've used up our life as it is currently being lived. We're not really happy. We're not really fulfilled. But we keep going to the same job and doing the same behaviors and having the same worries. And then something like Harvey comes along, and all of a sudden, we don't have anything that we had before. We lost everything. Everything. We have maybe the clothes on our back. And yet, as awful as it is, if you really, beneath that trauma, go deep down inside yourself, you're going to find a little bit of relief when you have a chance to kind of process this. Why? Because there's a possibility of a new life, other choices that you can make. You were stuck in the rat race in many cases and didn't know how to get out of it. So that's one way that you set yourself free, because we're never, ever a victim. Ever. We have contracted for every experience that we are undergoing. We are born in certain nations, under certain regimes, certain political agendas and parties, and certain religious structures and traditions, for the reason that we need that particular arena to draw forth from us the lessons and the processes we need to experience as a soul. And sometimes it's simply to awaken the fact that, no, I don't choose to live like this. And then you do what you have to do to get free. So everybody's exactly where they need to be, in exactly the country, the state, the nation, the religion, the political party, whatever, that best takes you through the challenges you need to experience to step free into greater life. Because life is meant to be enjoyed every single second. It's meant to be vital and alive. And nothing is worse than getting stuck in a rut, which you just simply don't know how to get out of, because you have to keep that paycheck coming in to pay the bills, to keep the house going, and this and that, all of that stuff. Think of the relief people have had if they don't have to look at their silly cell phone every second, or whatever it is people spend all their time looking at instead of relating. And look at the tremendous good that comes every time there's a disaster. You see the heart of people. You see the love of people. You see the soul begin to manifest through people that might have up till then not given much care about what happened to anybody around them. And all of a sudden, they are awakened to the preciousness of life and how important it is to be alive and to save lives, and the joy that these people have had, that have gone out of their way to rescue people out of the flooded homes, or maybe to rescue an animal. And the great difficulty and the sacrifices they had to make. Maybe their own home was completely flooded and destroyed. But there they are, out in a boat, seeking survivors, trying to save and help and encourage and just love, love on the people that are traumatized and suffering. We're seeing the best of humanity come out. Sometimes it takes something like this to bring us to reality, to get our attention. I get too complacent. We get too stuck in our own little personal dramas. So there's much, much good that's coming out of these dire earth changes that we're going through. It is a part of the testing and the tempering and the weeding out of those who are going to be able to move into the higher fifth dimension that we are currently, ready or not, moving into. So we are here to work through and see through all of the forms and manifestations that the illusion of separate, that the illusion of separation assumes. It takes all of these forms of hatred and againstness and prejudice and bigotry and positioning that we assume when we're operating out of the false self, the ego. And we will have to go through these things again and again until we recognize the one beloved in and as everyone. When only love remains, when one has awakened as the unconditional, pure, divine love, one has learned all that this planet has to teach. And you graduate and you move on. Each planet is a different school of consciousness with a different focus. So you move on to a higher one. So soul is here to undergo every type of experience in order to develop empathy and compassion and wisdom and understanding, which are all qualities of the divine pure heart. You might say this is a training ground to which we become the Sacred Heart of God in manifestation. So humanity is undergoing the initiations of earth, water, wind, fire, and ether. Earth involves the physical body and the skeleton and the mineral kingdoms and the various elements that make up the soil, the earth. We have a body that is made of the elements of the earth. Our organs are all connected to the endocrine system, which in turn is connected to the chakras. And each chakra is like a portal into a new world, a specific state of consciousness. And depending on which chakras you are operating out of, depends on how you see the world and how you react within the various situations. And so we are gradually upgrading our attunement and coming into alignment with greater, greater levels of integration until finally all of the chakras are functioning in harmony with the soul. So the disparity that we see in health and energy and the different things going on in our lives have to do very much with the imbalances in the chakras, which then affects the endocrine system, which then affects the organs, which then affects the health. So it's all connected, you see. Nothing stands alone by itself. Water has to do with the emotional body. You see all the flooding That's all that emotional energy coming up. And like water, it flows everywhere. Now it's constantly in motion. Water's not still, it's always moving. And then you have the wind, which has to do with the mental body, our thoughts. Our thoughts are what give everything the form that it manifests as. When you have chaotic thinking, you have chaos. When you have thoughts that are ordered by the higher self, the higher nature, you have balance. And it's learning how to direct your thoughts so that they serve the highest good. Then you have the test by fire. The fire represents the causal body, which some equate with the soul. In some traditions, the causal body is referred to as the soul. And I'm kind of using that as the context tonight. So the causal body is the body of causation. It's the because that releases the seeds of karma that we have accrued in the past, those that are held in reserve to be worked out at another time, and those that we are accruing by our actions every day, because the word karma simply means action. So it's the activity that produces always a result. You can't act without creating an effect. So the causal body stores all of those effects from the past, the present, and to be worked out in the future. You might call it your destiny palette or template. Now, the etheric has to do with the connection between each of these levels, which it's the connective web or membrane, but it also has its own plane. So even though it connects all of these levels in between, it also has a plane of its own, which is the higher upper subplanes and a vast etheric plane that we share as a collective. You might say it's our collective blueprint. Individually, it's the pattern of subtle energies and subconscious impulses that arise and cause us to be and act and express as we do. As a plane of consciousness, it's often referred to as the void, where you just go into that deep state where you feel like you're falling down inside yourself. I'm sure you've all had that experience. That's when you fall into that void. And to pass through that level, you have many, many tests of faith, because it's completely dark. And because it's dark, it protects that precious plane where you exist as a pure embodiment of God, as a soul. It protects that plane from those who are unprepared to go there. It has to be entered through absolute faith and trust. So every initiation contains tests, and these tests call upon the deepest resources of our personal and collective lives. They involve tests of the unknown, where you have to proceed step by step, like I just said, through faith and trust, but you have no idea where it's going. You're walking in darkness and you know, confronting all the time that fear of the unknown. So there's always that fear that has to be overcome at each level, because you're always walking, as you go into the new level, in an area of the unknown. And so there's always the test of overcoming fear and doubt and hesitation and vacillation and becoming steady in the confidence of self. But it's not the personal self that you're confident in. It is that self that is greater, that's within you, that self of the personal that's there in the world. That inner self, when you discover it, gives you absolutely dauntless confidence in yourself. And upon that foundation is what eventually self-realization must be built. You have to trust yourself. And then there's the test of staying focused on here and now. Not projecting, you know, the worst case scenario. Just handling here and now with mindful alertness and handling the present situation as best you can. It's only so much you can do, right? Remember, we are absolutely created to be codependent on the divine. We of ourselves can really do nothing, but we can be the instrument of that which is greater to operate through us. And then you have the test of releasing attachment to what was. And when you do that, you find it gives rise to greater and greater freedom and relief. It's amazing how relieved you feel sometimes when you've lost everything. This sounds crazy, I know. But it's happened to me several times. And I was so relieved afterwards. It's like, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to lug that around anymore and wonder what to do with it. You know, we get so attached to memorabilia. You know, and it's just a form of bondage. So we learn acceptance and adjusting and adapting and coping. And at each initiation, one lets go of some things, whatever they were, that have been outgrown and no longer serves one's onward progression. You never lose what was really needed. Bear that in mind. You'll never lose what you truly need. Nor will you lack what you truly need. It is always at hand. So, this loss and letting go of things is always difficult. If it were not difficult, it would not be an initiatory experience. At various initiatory levels, what one is required to let go of, relinquish, sacrifice, differs. Each level becoming more and more subtle and less obvious. The biggest and most difficult thing you will ever have to release is your idea that you are a something, that you are a this or a that you are a person. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? The biggest thing you'll ever have to release is the sense that you are a person. Why is that? Because you are God. You are everything that ever was and ever shall be, settling to be a limited this or that, a label that you've tacked on to yourself and said, well, I'm this. Any label, any definition is not who you are. It's a limitation. But we get so attached to this persona that we think we are. And so then finally you get to the shamanic death, as some call it, where you die to self. You die to self. That was the whole thing behind the symbology of the crucifixion. The Son of God is crucified on the cross of time and space, so that the resurrected Christ can be born, the true self can be born. It was a historical event that has a deep esoteric meaning. Sai Baba explained it to us when we were in an interview. And everything that happened to Jesus on the cross symbolizes the relinquishing of the sense of separate identity, separation from the Father, separation. For example, the thorns around the head meant the crucifixion, Baba said, of our mind, the dying of the mind. Sometimes he will manifest a diamond for someone and he will say, this means die mind. Let the mind that you think you are thinking out of die. What does that mean? Transcend thought. Transcend being a this or a that. Transcend everything you thought you knew and you were. Let it all go. Let go of all your concepts and your learnings and everything. Empty your whole self out. And let the Lord fill you with His whole spirit. So So the physical relinquishing is the most obvious loss, and physical possessions, property, homes, jobs, health, limbs, sight, hearing, etc. You know, those are rather obvious. Loss of abilities, loss of pets, other loved ones, loss of lifestyles and habitual patterns, or even one's physical body. Sai Baba said, never fear death. I think he ought to know. Because nobody ever really dies. They just change into a different, more subtle body that's existing in another dimension of life. Nothing ends. You discard the body like an outworn garment when it no longer really serves your ongoing progression. You drop it, and you move to another body that's appropriate to that next dimension. So that fear, well, gradually, the master DK said that that fear will completely dissolve within the next 200 years as we become able to see, you know, into the astral world, which is happening to many people. You know, the veil is getting very thin between the physical and the astral level, and we can see our loved ones. We can talk to them. So that eventually is going to be the experience of everyone, not just a few. So the emotional levels that we are relinquishing involves how one reacts, feels, responds to these losses. Our attachments to glamour. Glamour is when you have an inordinate emotional attachment to some particular state of consciousness or some particular thing. That's called glamour. And it's an emotional state. It involves our fantasies and, you know, our romantic, things that we go through, our needing to be loved and acknowledged and wanted and having personal recognition and status and importance. These are all personality ego glamours that we outgrow. But it's very painful when we're in that process. Mental relinquishment involves how we interpret and perceive our experiences. We give all the meaning anything has for us. Apart from what we say a thing is, it has no meaning. So it's our psychological ability to accept and adjust and come to peace with and move on or not. Sometimes we're very stuck in our mental positioning, our attachments to our opinions and our beliefs and what we think we know. Our scholarship, our degrees, our intellectual status, our spiritual knowledge and pride. These are all illusions. Illusions are glamour at a mental level, but they prevent us from seeing the wholeness and the oneness of everything. So we're attached to this person that we think we are or imagine ourselves to be. We're attached to our social standing, our background, you know, all of that. In fact, anything and everything that we believe and think we are as a person goes into that whole mix that gradually we begin to unwind and discard, but not without considerable psychological crises that we go through at various times. So in many ways, mental attachment to our own self-labeling as a this or a that, as a person, is probably the most difficult psychological adjustment that we are making as we awaken to the God Self that we truly are. So as part of every initiation, certain things occur. One enters a new arena of awareness and is at first confused. That's the first sign you've gone to another level, is that you're confused. You feel lost. And initially, you haven't a clue what to do or how to operate at that new level. It's like you're brand new. And You're blinded too initially because you're unable to see clearly in the greater, more brilliant light. And this is seldom, if ever, without initial pain on some level, and requires a period of adjusting and adapting to an entirely new environment of consciousness, psychologically and intuitively, which also affects one's outer life perspective and relationships. For example, once you've made a major change of consciousness, or say, for example, you get born again, really born again of spirit, to where that inner transformation really is quite obvious, you're going to hear stuff like this. I don't know who you are anymore. You're different. You've changed. I like the old you better. You were more fun. Now you seem more aloof, unreasonable, uncaring, unresponsive. You know, all familiar things that an advanced initiate will begin to hear from their friends and loved ones. Why? Because your loved ones think they know you. They're under the illusion that they know you. So they become threatened and fearful of the unknown you when you change. They want to control. They want to have the illusion that they know you. What do they know about you? They know your familiar body, your familiar habits, the things that you've said year after year. So when you have a dramatic change of consciousness, all of a sudden they become threatened and frightened. And, you know, you find you change friends. Those friends who can't accept the new you are going to fall away. Maybe they're members of your family. Your time with them in that classroom is finished. Accept it and move on. Be with people that share your interests and appreciate who you are as you are, or as long as you are, whatever that is, because that will change too. As long as you are a this or a that, there will be change. When you know that you are the all that is, you're in the realm of the changeless. But then that's another topic. So this inter-recollectiveness that they are seeing in you, that they interpret as being withdrawn or self-possessed, or they're not able to manipulate you or interact with you in the old ways, that part of you that kind of is not running the outer dramas that most people live in and call a life become so obvious to a higher initiate, they just don't operate in that level anymore. And they're not drawn into those levels because they're simply not there. They're looking through a very different perspective of life. And they seem to live absorbed in their own world and detached from the former polarizations and preoccupations that once held their attention. They're the ones that will be silent, that don't feel like they have to have a comment and opinion to everything and about everything and everyone. They're just kind of quiet because they don't really care. Let everybody believe what they want to believe. It doesn't affect them. They know what they know. And you see, that's the difference between those who know from the self that they are, with a capital S, and those who are still seeking that inner knower. You know, they're the ones that, you know, they want to nail everything down because they want to be in control. And the whole thing in the spiritual life is to relinquish that sense of being in control. So that which is greater, that is in control. So there's a burning away, too, or dissolving of the etheric energy webbing that connected one with their former level of involvement and attachment. And with that will sometimes cause a sense, again, of loss or having something wrenched from you. For example, in the case of Jesus on the cross, undergoing literally the fourth initiation called the Great Renunciation or Crucifixion Initiation, when he cried out, my God, how hast thou forsaken me? Why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was experiencing the relinquishment of his former state of consciousness as soul, the Son of God, and realizing he stood alone as the divine self itself. And that produced that cry that came from the very depths of his being. Because at the fourth initiation, one relinquishes the sense of being a soul, and the soul vehicle itself is subsumed and dissolved into the higher awareness that we call the spirit, or the monad, or the I Am presence, or Atma, or Father. All of that refers to that God self that every lower level is drawn up into and absorbed by. So that produces a great reorientation of one's entire life experience and relationship with one's sense of self and God. You see? So, lately, we've been sharing how all life is interconnected as one vast cosmic wholeness in which we live and move and have our being within a greater life. And we are lights within a greater light. And we are strands of loving energy within the stream of greater love, divine. And we are also experiencing lesser states of initiation, like cells within the body of a greater being that is a greater initiate. And thus humanity and the earth and the planetary logos of the earth and the logos of the sun and the sun itself are all undergoing initiation, each in their particular level of consciousness. And we are part of and experiencing these initiations. That's what the solar flares are all about. The solar logos is undergoing an initiation. And you're seeing the flaring of the initiatory fires as it passes through this tremendous expansion of awareness. You are seeing the earth reacting to the incoming energies which are transfiguring her dimensionally into a higher state of expression that you call the new earth. You are seeing the transfiguration of the human personality as it becomes clothed with the Christ consciousness and becomes the living love. We're all lives within a greater life. We are all light within a greater light. We are all strands of loving energy within the stream of love divine. If you like, you can think of yourself as interwoven in the DNA of God, the Almighty Creator. But realize you do not belong to yourself. You belong to your Creator. You belong to God. And God and your own self will be found to be one and the same. And as you go through each expansion of awareness and you jettison more and more of that which is not who you are, you realize more and more that there's nothing you need, there's nothing you lack, because you're one with all that is. So whatever we go through, it is ultimately for the purpose of giving us all that we truly desire and want. And it is so true that we must go through this in order to receive what we truly want. Yes. We think we want one thing, but actually God has something so much better for us. But we will not know that unless we have the patience and the endurance to keep going through whatever it is we're going through and trusting the process. Jesus in A Course of Miracles said, trust would solve every problem now. And I love this quote from the teacher's manual of A Course in Miracles. It takes great learning to understand that all things, events, encounters, and circumstances are helpful. It is only to the extent that they are helpful that any degree of reality should be accorded them in this world of illusion. The word value can apply to nothing else. So as we go through these initiations, we are learning eventually what truly has value. But the most valuable thing in all of existence is who and what you are and have ever and always been. So I hope this has been helpful to you. Let's go out chanting three Anai hues. Deep breath. One more thought from the Course in Miracles that you can ponder. I quote, can you imagine what it means to have no cares, no worries, no anxieties, but merely to be perfectly calm and quiet all the time? Yet that is what time is for, to learn just that and nothing more. So, let's practice learning that, shall we? To be calm and to trust whatever is happening in our life is really answering our prayer, the deepest longing of our heart, to know who we truly are as immortal love. God bless you. Namaste.